Welcome everybody to Spark My Muse. This is Lisa DeLay, and this is Soul School Lesson 79. Today I thought I'd do something a little differently. Usually on Soul School, I don't have any guests, and it's just me talking about something. But today I thought I would have on a guest, and what I thought would be really interesting is to have somebody from the 21st century, intergenerational talk today, and talking about things that concern younger people, and maybe it would open up dialogue in your own life or a chance for you to see something from a different perspective. And so today I have on somebody, and her name is Gabrielle. When were you born, Gabrielle?
In 2002.
In 2002. And so you've become accustomed to living in the world with a lot of digital enhancements and things, like you've never used a payphone, right?
Yeah.
And so tell me a little bit about some of the major influences in your life.
Well, social media is a big, big influence. Like, my peers and people, like, during the school year, everybody, like, in my classes and my family.
And what about other adults? Do other adults tend to make a big influence, or it's not that noticeable to you?
Well, leaders, like, in different, like, settings, like, when I go to work, people that are in charge there that I end up talking to, or at church, if I see people that are influencing others.
Mm-hmm. Would you say that's pretty typical of people your age, or would you say you're kind of in the minority?
It depends what you mean. At church, when I'm downstairs in the nursery, I end up talking to people that I wouldn't normally. I talk to this woman that's a mail carrier, and it's really interesting to hear about, like, the people she interacts with, and I think that's different than people in my age group.
Do you enjoy talking to people who are not in your age group?
Yeah, I think that it's really interesting to see how they deal with things. And
one of the reasons why I wanted to talk to somebody a lot younger than me for this program was because I think there can be sort of a generational disconnect among different people, and older people might think they have nothing in common with people of a younger generation. I think we do have a lot more in common than we might at first think, but there are definitely some unique challenges that we might not understand for younger people, and things that you might struggle with that we might not understand or might not be able to address or help out with because we don't even know that some of these problems exist. And so one of the questions I wanted to ask you was, what sorts of things do you struggle with that people in older generations wouldn't really understand or realize?
I think nowadays it's a bigger struggle for people my age to, like, they feel the need to be perfect. And I think that's because of a lot of the social media figures like Kylie Jenner, or I guess the rest of her family. But people, everything seems to be a statement. Like, if somebody posts, like, a selfie, it's, like, they might put, like, no makeup, or they might, like, say, like, something about themselves, like, as, like, to prove something.
Let's unpack that a little bit. So image is a real problem no matter what generation you're in, and people think about what other people think of them. It's especially bad when you're a teenager. So you're 14. Adolescence is definitely one of those times in development, social development, where you are continually thinking about what are other people noticing about you. And then there's this additional social pressure of celebrities or posting things all the time with their surgically enhanced bodies or their makeup artists helping them look perfect. And what I hear you saying is that these feel like impossible standards, and people are trying to, in a way, keep up with them. Or help me understand what you're saying a little bit more.
Well, I think that since the media, like, since social media and things like that have become a bigger deal and are more available to kids my age, that we look up to these people, and we don't really even get a choice. It's kind of just, like, thrown out there. Mm. And even with, like, makeup, this isn't about people, but with makeup, people feel the need to cover up or, like, meet a certain standard of it. Like, I know that nowadays people put on, like, full faces of foundation, and they didn't used to. Mm-hmm. Like, maybe just to cover up, but now it's, like, a beauty standard to sort of do like an entire face of makeup and go all out.
Yes, even if you have perfect skin and you're an adolescent with really nice skin, you still would put on a full face of makeup for ordinary living, ordinary day.
Yeah, exactly. That's...
Well, what would happen if you didn't connect with social media? Would that be something you would ever do?
People my age don't even... Everybody that I know figures out a way to connect to it. It's kind of weird. Like, I have a friend that isn't allowed to have any social media, and she logs into her friends' accounts, and she goes on anyways, because she feels like she's left out. Mm. There's, like, the FOMO sort of thing going on.
FOMO, fear of missing out?
Yeah.
And so people feel on the outside of that because everybody's connected to social media, but in a way, do you think that they're all a little miserable because of it, or do you think their lives are enhanced because of social media?
I think it's a give and take. Yeah, so you get a reward from, like, checking in, and you, it makes you feel like you have these connections with people, even though they're basically fake. Like, you might just like their picture on Instagram or see what they're doing, and it doesn't actually make you feel any better, and it's probably worse overall, because you feel, like, left out or less than, but you still feel like you have to connect.
Hmm. Let's talk about how you relate to your peers, other teenagers, socially. Now, when I was a teenager, the phone was the big thing. And, you know, it was always like, get off the phone, or you only have 20 minutes on the phone. And for every generation, it's different. Now, how often do you have a telephone conversation with someone where you're actually talking voice to voice?
It's pretty rare. It's usually if I'm at a friend's house, we can, like, FaceTime people, but it'll be because we're bored of just, like, sitting around.
Or you'll actually see the other person's face talking to you.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And then what's your biggest mode of communication with other peers?
Texting.
Right. So how much of your day, if you were to break it up into, I don't want to say hours per day, but how many text messages would you say you send and receive each day?
I have no idea. It's a lot.
Is it over 200?
Maybe. I don't know.
I was just curious to see. It's your main form of communicating, though. It's not in person?
Yeah, it's mostly on your phone. Like, over the summer, it becomes like that.
Mm-hmm.
And there's less to talk about, so it becomes, like, even faker. Because, like, during the school year, and this year I'm doing cyber school, so it'll be different for me. It'll be totally new. But during the school year, there's things to talk about, like if people get in a fight or different little social dramas. But over the summer, there's less, like, it'll be like, I went on vacation. And you're like, cool. And that's it.
Do you feel like those conversations can get to a deeper place? Do you reveal more of yourself because you're not afraid of being vulnerable, because you're not really in their presence? Or do you think that they stay more shallow, or is it a combination of both?
I think it depends how close you are in person, but in general, it tends to be a lot more shallow because you're scared to type something out and reveal it.
Hmm.
Like, sometimes I'll call my friends and I'll tell them something. Like, me and my one friend do that sometimes,
mm-hmm.
just to, like, totally vent. She's also going to do a cyber school, mm-hmm. or a different school, not cyber.
Mm-hmm. And do you do that really so there isn't a record to look at?
Yeah.
Okay, I was wondering that, because that's another thing that you have to think about that I never had to think about, was posting a photo or texting something is actually recorded and could be used against you later. And that was never a concern for me when I was a teenager, but that's a new concern for someone your age, right?
Yeah, and it's not even about, like, big, like, the government is, like, tracking us. That's not how I'm thinking about it. I'm thinking, like, oh, is somebody gonna screenshot this and send it to someone else and start talking about me? Because, I mean, I even do that with things. I'll be like, oh, look.
Mm-hmm. And has that caused problems? Do you have an instance of, is that typically problem-causing, or is that a rare occurrence, or how often does that create problems?
Well, sometimes it'll be, like, an underlying problem. Like, if two people are hanging out and they do something that is, like, an inside joke or something else among other people, they're like, hey, and then you almost want to point it out to them.
Mm-hmm. I was just wondering how, like, it can create a kind of paranoia where you don't know when you can share your feelings and when it's safe and when to be vulnerable and when not to be vulnerable. I was just kind of curious as to how much that plays into your communications.
Well, lately I've been noticing more things like that. Like, there's this one person I wanted to break off a friendship with, sort of, like, slowly just kind of not talk to her as much, because I've realized that when I hang out with her, she gossips a lot, and I don't want to reveal things to her because I'm scared that she's going to tell everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
So, there's, even in person, that's true with, like, any generation, I think.
Mm-hmm. That's true. Well, do you sense that this is a kind of trend, that the problems will sort of take care of themselves, and it's more of a trend that people will move away from texting to some other sort of communication, and social media will die out because of its problems? Or do you sense that this is like a permanent thing? Are people moving toward or away from the Instagram and things like that?
Well, I think that it's going to build on it, like any other... Like, as you said, like, the phone conversations, that went to texting, and people, there's more ways to communicate, and I think it's going to keep growing. And yes, Instagram and things of that nature are going to kind of, like, go away, and we'll look back on it, he's like, oh, that was so stupid, but new things are going to come out, and I think the same, almost, like, problem is going to be solved, like, the need to connect and feel like you're involved with something, like, on your phone, or... A different.
Yeah, I think that you're right. These applications and programs and things like that tap into something that's more human about us, and our ability to connect with each other and want to feel connected and part of something and want to talk to each other and communicate. Like, I noticed Facebook, you know, was this huge deal, and nobody knew about it at first. It was started at Harvard, and then all of a sudden all these colleges started getting involved, and then high schools, and then it became very mainstream, and now it's like something that older people do, over 40, 50 years old, on average. It's kind of something that older people are more into than younger people, and that's kind of what I was wondering, if some of these things will sort of trend out with younger generations coming up. But what's your take on that?
Yeah, of course, I feel like that's kind of how it's always been, where things trend and then they go away.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, you're right.
Well, are you hopeful about the future? You're not old enough to be in college or really start a career or anything like that. But what do you think is, like, does all this stuff, all this media and all this influx of information make you feel hopeful? Or do you feel like you dread the future? What do you think are some positives coming your way, or do you think there aren't too many positives?
Oh, I think it's a positive future. I mean, there's a bunch of people, we're one of the bigger generations in a while, you know, since like the baby boomers, and I think, you know, like the whole like gay pride and the feminist stuff coming out right now, it's been a push for like a long time, many, many years, but I think with the media it's been pushed further. And overall, it's been, like, thrown kind of in people's faces, but it's probably for the better, because things are slowly becoming more equalized because of people pushing it, and I think that adds to, like, a good future.
One of the things we had talked about a little bit before we started recording was some of the TV shows and media that might have a bad influence on people and sort of heighten some of the already difficult points in a teenager's life. And one of the programs that got a lot of attention was 13 Reasons. Can you describe that show for somebody who's never heard of it or seen it before?
13 Reasons Why is a show about this girl who kills herself, and she leaves 13 tapes for people to find, and it's about 13 different people. 13 reasons why, I guess, she killed herself. Things that, like, led to it. And I think the show taps into people's worries and their isolation. And, like, part of the show deals with, like, social media and like, relationships and stuff like that. As a teenager, like, this show is a show that teenagers are going to watch. And as a teenager, you feel, like, really isolated. And I think having phones and social media has added to that and made it so that you feel, like... even more, like, if you see your friends hanging out without you, you're going to feel more left out because they won't tell you about it, but you'll see it on social media or something. And this show, I feel like, could lead to more people being like, yeah, that's how I feel, or something.
And so you think that the show could give people extra reasons to kill themselves, potentially?
It could. It could, like, it's a good show, but if you feel like the girl who did kill herself, almost.
Mm-hmm.
Like, all of her reasons are stuff like, she felt left out, or she felt betrayed by someone, and of course, everyone feels like that at some point in their life.
Everybody feels betrayed at some time in their life. That shouldn't necessarily give them a reason to kill themselves and make all these tapes and implicate people. And
exactly. And I feel like my generation has maybe felt more so this way. And left out or betrayed by people. And that's just part of being a teenager, I guess, but it might have been heightened.
Well, yeah, what's interesting is that in a different sort of way, you can be, well, they maybe you would call it cyberbullying, or maybe you wouldn't, but when people exclude you, they might say, no, I don't want to hang out. And then a couple hours later, you'll see them hanging out, having a great time, and posting that for everybody to see, and you're not in the picture. But I think what it does is it a little bit, maybe you will disagree with me, but you can tell me what you think. It might glamorize some of those feelings of desperation and ways to get back at people by making these essentially 13 sort of video suicide notes that she leaves behind for people, and glamorizes this sort of revenge to the people that hurt her. Is that, or correct me if I'm wrong, how do you see it?
I think you're mostly right. It's basically tapping into everybody's, or not everyone, but the people who would be drawn to this show. It's tapping into that feeling of isolation and that feeling of, like, being left out, kind of what I just said. And it's almost giving them a solution to the problem, which isn't necessarily good. It makes a good show, but it doesn't give, it's a bad influence on, like, young minds who might think, oh, this is a good idea. Well, it's not a good idea. They know that, but it...
it's like a possible solution?
Yeah.
Well, what's interesting about the show, too, hopefully if people view it with their kids or just know about the show, it can, I hope, open up avenues for dialogue. And maybe in that way, the show could be positive. But I agree with you that if someone's already feeling isolated and already feeling betrayed in all those same ways that they show on the program, it could push them over the edge, perhaps. I know there were some so-called copycat suicides, and people have blamed the show for that, but there's a lot of access to these programs where parents might not even know that their children are watching.
Yeah, and it's not like killing yourself could actually, like, people aren't, it's a fleeting. That's the thing about, I've noticed about kids my age, everything seems to be, like, fleeting, like, trends, and that's always been true, but it's even more so now. Like, if you kill yourself and you leave a bunch of tapes, or you leave a note and you blame it on somebody, they're gonna feel bad, but they're not gonna keep worrying about it. They're gonna go on with their lives like everybody else, and it's gonna be insignificant that you try to make a statement.
Well, I'd like to talk for just a second. Well, this will be the last thing before we wrap up. The ephemeral nature of the times that we live in. There's all this stuff being posted, and in a way, it's as if things are more real because there's a picture of you here and there's a picture of you there, almost like time is captured. But at the same time, because everything can be captured, sort of nothing is, and everything feels transient, everything feels ephemeral. And you were alluding to that. What's it like to be, in a sense, growing up and living in a world where everything seems so transient? What are some things you feel like you can count on?
I'm not really sure how to answer that.
Well, do you sense that things feel transient in your life?
Oh, of course. Yeah. I mean, just like basic actual, like, clothing trends or makeup trends or friendships even, things can change, like, in an instant because of something that happens. Just even, like, okay, if we go back to the texting thing, if you say something, like, sarcastic or something, they could take it the total wrong way because texting isn't real, and it's just, it can be real, but it's also just typing out something on your phone and sending it to somebody else, and they can take it however they want to. And you can get into, like, fights and stuff super, super easily, and I feel like that's a bigger issue now. And, yeah.
Misunderstandings?
Yes, yeah.
Well, if you were giving advice to someone who was, like, 8 years old, and they were going to be a teenager and experience some of the same things, what sort of advice would you give?
I would tell them to not get caught up in the dramas, because I noticed, like, when I went into middle school, the drama totally changed, and it was happening very fast and all the time, and it was so much different than stuff that happened in fifth grade, and even now, it's kind of the same, and stuff just happens over and over again, and it doesn't really matter. People forget about it after a few weeks, or maybe they remember it, but it doesn't matter at that point. Things just happen all the time, so don't get caught up in it.
So, you're saying if something seems to be really horrible, that it's not as horrible as you think it is, because those things kind of pass?
Of course. And people who, like, have fights and say they hate each other, like, maybe they're best friends, most of these people I've noticed come back together and they're like, oh my god, best friends again. And that might not be the best thing, but everything just revolves. Nothing sticks.
And do you have any final words of wisdom for parents or people older than you or people who work with younger kids or caregive to teenagers? What's some of the best advice you have for understanding people your age?
I have no idea.
Well, like, I wish people would just get it. I wish there was something I could say that everybody could hear and understand what I'm going through more, or what we're going through more.
I don't really know if there's any way to put anything like that. It's something that everybody goes through in their life, kind of, as a teenager. Everybody sort of feels the same way. Only major difference I'm noticing is that things seem to be heightened because of social media, and that's what I've been saying kind of this whole thing.
Right. Well, I think you're doing pretty well under the circumstances with all of that gets thrown your way. I regret probably letting you have access to that as early as you did, which was, what, 12?
I have no idea.
When you got an iPod?
Something.
But as a parent, struggle with when you want your kid to be in touch with all that stuff, but you know that you don't want to shelter them either. So it's a real trade-off, but I'm hoping that, like, wisdom prevails and that you learn from mistakes and that you're able to navigate in that world. But I didn't think that sheltering you from it would be the way to do it. And I think you have a lot of wisdom, and I hope that you just keep walking in that direction. In case you haven't realized it, Gabrielle is my daughter, and she's 14, and I'm really amazed with her as a person, and I think that as she's growing up, it's been really interesting to see how she sees the world and navigates the world, and it would be really interesting to come back in a couple years and see how that's changed or how that's developed. But I encourage you, if you're listening to this and you have a teenager of your own or a child, to actually do a little interview with them, too. This was fun and enlightening. I think I knew a lot of these things already, but giving her a chance to tell her story the way she has is always interesting. And so this will wrap up Soul School. If you have questions for Ellie, send them over to me at contact@sparkmymuse.com. If you want to hear from her point of view, I'll try to pass along those questions and she could answer them from her vantage point. And thank you so much for listening. If you would like to rate this show on iTunes, it would really help get it in front of more people with the algorithms at iTunes. And I would really appreciate it if you would support the show at the direct link in the show notes or at patreon.com/sparkmymuse. See you next week.